words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, for the last few Sundays, the epistle lesson have directed our attention to the gifts that Jesus bought for us on the cross and his subsequent resurrection and ascension into heaven, where he sits and distributes gifts to his church. Last Sunday we heard about the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. The Sunday before that, we reveled in the gifts of being baptized member of Christ's church, so we're never without an identity and a Father and a Savior, and our own humanity has been brought to our Lord himself and gathered in the body of Christ. And then today's gift is an amazing part of our, as the psalm said a little earlier, God places the solitary into family. And he gifts us with faith, and now we call one another brothers and sisters in Christ, with God as our Father. And Christ is the head of his Christian church, the head of us. He is the one who speaks to us. In fact, he says, "My sheep also hear my voice." And another voice? Nope. We just do not listen to, because he has the words of eternal life. Here in time, and also when we breathe our last, it will be our shepherd's voice we'll hear on the other side to bring us to the Father. In the meanwhile, Paul has specific words to write to the church of Galatia, and we still need to hear these ourselves as sons and daughters of God, because we don't live with ourselves, by ourselves as a rule. God baptizes us and then raises us up in the Christian faith and sends us out into the world in our vocations. And in those places, lots of interaction with people. And then to back up just a bit before we even go out there, our life together, which Paul refers to, especially those of the household of faith. And here comes the gift and the trouble and the remedy. I don't want you to be, I don't want you to provoke one another, nor envy one another. The context here is this. Brothers, if any man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself too, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and by doing so, you fulfill the law of Christ. You keep all the commandments to love your neighbor as yourself. Again, the context here is the Christian church and our dealings with one another. And when we see someone caught unawares, that's the context and the meaning of the word, by a sin or sinning, the danger with the Galatians was that there was this little business of instead of loving your brother as Christ loved you, there was a little bit of cockiness. Oh, I have a rich faith, and not too much is going on wrong with me, and so I see you are struggling with that. So, no, Paul's writing to them, no. No spiritual arrogance, no conceitedness. Last Sunday, die to the things of the flesh. Crucify them, that means repent of those, and then embrace God's forgiveness in the absolution, in the Lord's Supper, in your baptism. Trust what he says, fresh grace, and then in its place, brothers, he calls us, Jesus's brothers and sisters. Dietrich Bonhoeffer lived back during the 1940s. He says, this is just for Christians. we speak to one another on the basis of the help we both need. We admonish one another to go the way that Christ bids us to go. We warn one another against the disobedience that is our common destruction. And we are also gentle with one another, and sometimes even severe. For we both know God's kindness and God's severity. Why should we be afraid of one another, since both of us only have God to fear? Why should we think that our brother would not understand us, when we understood very well what was meant when another brother spoke God's word, either of comfort or admonition to us, perhaps in words that were unskilled? Or do we really think that there is a single person in this world who does not need either God's encouragement or God's admonition? Why then has God bestowed on us Christian brotherhood? The context of Pastor Bonhoeffer writing that was during the Second World War. And you know what went on there. This is a gift that God gives the Christian, no matter what's going on around him, no matter what the culture says, no matter how we feel, or what kind of response the other person may be eliciting at the time. Brothers in Christ. If a man is overtaken, notice he says overtaken. He doesn't say if he's sinning. It's as if something has caught us unaware. Something that God has forbade his Christians to take part in. And this can probably happen in one or two ways. One, just of ignorance. I didn't know. So thank you, because I was about to fall right into that. Or even on a good day, as Christians, we may know something is not good, right, and salutary, but there's just something that gets a hold of us and grabs us, and we're just right in the middle of it. Perhaps it's a knee-jerk response, or everyone else is doing it, whispering about someone, or whatever it may be. We all have those moments when we are tempted. Even our Lord Jesus Christ was tempted. Many of the saints, Christians in New and Old Testament, were also tempted. But when we're caught unaware, and we see our brother or sister there, there is no place for a Christian to gratify himself in parading his faith in front of one who has fallen or is about to try and correct the sins. No, Paul wants to put a stop to this, and in its place, place Christ and the love of the brother first. Brothers, if someone is overtaken in any trespass, caught off guard, you who are spiritually at the time a bit stronger, lest you become proud in your good life, and that you should think it's right for me to feel good and to despise another brother, or to reject the help of someone who is coming to us. Humility, Christian humility, has the place here now. It has center stage. Because when people are struggling or being overcome with sin, and we spur them on, kindness is always the order of the day. Not harshly to be punished, not to be coerced with authority. No, no one would accept reproof. If you protect a person from strife and arrogance and show Christian meekness, as Christ was kind to you, Christian humility even makes the proud or the defensive humble. and you opened the door, not for you, but for Jesus to walk in again, this Savior. Notice, Paul's words are here, if he's overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, help restore, to restore, to glue back, to help mold and fashion and bring to Christ. We have been given the gospel of reconciliation. Again, this is for Christians. The church doesn't understand this. They'll get their turn when they see how the church cares for one another. But to restore someone doesn't mean to punish them, never to pass judgment. No, but we've been given the same word that the other Christian has. And again, they're caught unaware. A trip, perhaps, in the faith. Paul doesn't even stop there, but he shows this strong desire in the Christian to be patient with those who stumble. And he shows how, he says, he adds, in a spirit of gentleness. He doesn't say, be gentle, because he points out that this is a gift from God's Spirit. A spirit of gentleness given to you because you know how long-suffering and patient and kind and forgiving and compassionate and merciful your Father is to you on account of Christ. And now you've seen another caught unaware. The only response is to show that one, Jesus. And so you've been given the capacity to bring them back to Christ under the foot of the cross, to see and sniff the lilies of Easter and to rejoice in their subsequent resurrection, to reconcile, to be restored in a spirit of gentleness. The Spirit-driven Christian, you and me, will always come to the aid of another Christian meekly, with compassion. Not to be inflexible, not to be angry, not to be aggrieved. The love of Christ compels me. If the love of Christ does not compel you, then turn away, go sit down, drive around the corner, maybe around their house 3 or 4 times until the love of Christ oozes. If your heart skips a beat, no. If you've got any business of look at me, look at them, just take a look in God's mirror. And that will shatter as well. Our desire is to bring him to Christ. That should stir him then with the promises of salvation, the promises of forgiveness, the promises of rejoicing in Christ, not in my sin. And our sin never gets in the way of Jesus. This is the test of the Christian. This is Christianity 101, 201, 301 until we die, 401. And it's a great gift. There's no surer test of our faith than our treatment of another's sin. Note how he takes care to deliver the sinner rather than to triumph over this business of I'm right, you're right. That has no bearing, no place. There's only one who's right, and that's the one who bled and died for you and covers you. And daily, as we prayed in the collect, brings us that fresh cleaning that Jesus' blood has won for us. That cleaning, that there's blood in the water of baptism that your Savior says, bring them to me. Let me wash them, nourish them. Without spot or wrinkle, the brother needs to hear that. And note how he takes care to deliver rather than to punish. Because we all know the wages of sin still is death. But one stood in your place and mine and in the brother's, not to punish, nor rejoice, nor to exalt, but as far as lies within your capacity, support him and care for him and love him. That's our modus operandi for one another. It's the whole second part of the law. That's the joy of being a Christian, because I'm not condemned, and when you fall, neither are you. Oh, fresh grace again. Think of also what might befall you as you engage in that conversation, and it may happen over one or two or three times. Paul writes in the spirit of gentleness, consider yourself also. Oh, yes, we do. But by the grace of God, there go I. Oh, yeah. 3 weeks ago, that was me. I fell headlong, face plant, right into it. Or tripped and knew it was no good for me, but like a friend of mine says, sometimes it just feels good to sin. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just don't look at your husband. We can all grin at that. Thank God, God gives us Christian brotherhood. Lest you also fall along with him. Back in New York, I had opportunity to study with pastors, and every month we would exegete, study the scripture lesson for the upcoming Sunday, pray for one another, and hear sermon, confess our sins, and receive the Lord's Supper, and then hear God's word of benediction spoken through the pastor, and we'd depart in peace. But this day, I was sitting about here in the middle, and the pastor began to mount the pulpit and slipped, okay, but then staggered a little as he stood there and couldn't find his place in the Bible. And he began to try and give us the gospel, but his tongue was stammering and his eyes were bloodshot and his hands were shaking. And my friend looked at me and elbowed. And I moved away from him. After the meeting was over, I knocked on his door. And I said, brother, can we talk? And he smelled of alcohol. And his robes were a mess. And his pants were unbuttoned. And his shoe wasn't tied. And I said, do you need help? I think I can help you. Because I once had that problem, but no longer. And he said, really? Why are we so surprised when another has been in our place and God has brought healing? Sometimes we can get past those times when we fall. Sometimes we can overcome with our own power and God's grace. Sometimes not. After all, God is so honest with us and does not condemn us. And that gives us just a little bit more courage to take off the mask and be honest with one another as Christ is honest with us. Sin is a burden. Christ has borne that in his body and paid the full cost of that. And now he also has announced that to you again today. Sins forgiven, peace with God. And we then will be there to help lift the burden in others' lives. To reach down into our rich well of spiritual gifts that God has given to us, and to place them into someone else's lap who is very empty. What a treasure. What a gift. What a word God has given to us. To count one another's sins as our very own. God has put this word of forgiveness into the mouth of men in order that it may be communicated to other men. When one person is struck by the word, he speaks it to others. God has designed that we should seek and find his living word in the witness of another brother, in the mouth of men. Therefore, the Christian needs another Christian to speak God's word to him. He needs him again and again when he becomes uncertain or stumbles or discouraged. For by himself he cannot but fall. He needs his brother as a sin bearer as a proclaimer of Christ's marvelous word of comfort, of forgiveness. He needs his brother solely because of Jesus. Because the Christ in his own heart sometimes is weaker than the Christ in the word of another brother. His own heart sometimes is very uncertain. His brothers, as he declares to me, God still loves you, Kevin. He forgives you. You're his handiwork, his baptized son. That word in a brother's mouth is very sure during those times. Brothers, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, help restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Consider yourself too, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, which is, love one another as he has loved you. Grant this, Lord, for Jesus' sake, among your church, today and forever. Amen. Peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard and keep your hearts with Christ until the day of his coming. Amen.